pleased to say that Symphony Week is in its third day this morning, and we're going to really spend time with kids, the kid in all of us, and many, many aspects about music and the essentialness to all of us that we can really see through the form of children. We're going to get there, however, through just a quick polka played by the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Gustavo Dudamel. Polka from the New Year's Day concerts of the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Gustavo Dudamel, who was this last year's conductor for that series of concerts. We're on our way into Symphony Week in many ways, and we bring somebody that has encountered Gustavo Dudamel, and that's Jorge Huzgetiki, the associate conductor of the Spokane Symphony. Good morning, Jorge.
Good morning, Vern.
And let's jump right into your past, growing up and encountering music as a kid.
Well, I was very lucky to be in a country where music is a big thing, classical mm-hmm. music mm-hmm. in particular. And, you know, I was not immune from the passion that, you know, we see in all of these orchestras that are mm-hmm. Performing there. And, yeah, that's really what that's the reason why I wanted to become a musician. Mm-hmm. Because I realized that it was so wonderful, and you know, one could be so happy, really, doing what one loves. In my case, was being music, you know.
And you, even though you're a pianist, you did sit in and play with that orchestra, didn't you?
Yes, I did play. I played with them as a soloist, you know, at a young age, and that also changed, of course, my life. You know, I was 14 years old, and because I had that opportunity, I could feel, you know, firsthand what it meant to be involved with musicians that really love what they do. And yeah, that was a wonderful mm-hmm. experience.
And were you, in fact, lucky enough to encounter Dudamel while you were there, or was he gone? Talk about him a bit.
Yes. Well, I mean, Gustavo Dudamel's story is very, you know, incredible, because, you know, he sat in the orchestra as a violinist. But then one day the conductor didn't show up, and he decided, you know, kind of as a joke, he started to be in front of the orchestra. And then the main conductor arrived, and when he saw him, he realized, wow, I can really use this guy to assist me. And then that's how it all started.
Wow, great. And you yourself also from got inspired to be conductor. Was it in interacting with those orchestras?
You know, I'm sure it has a lot to do with it if I look back. But in the moment, it didn't really, it was not the reason why I started doing it. I really wanted to be a concert pianist. Mm-hmm. That's what I trained myself to do. But then when I noticed the you know, that connection you can have with musicians, with people, and making music with a, you know, a bigger, you know, machinery, you know, like a big orchestra. It really made a big difference to me rather than being in a piano by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a practice room anyway, playing the piano by myself. Mm-hmm. And later I discovered what it meant also to share music with the younger generation, with, you know, with youth orchestras. And that's really when I realized this is really what I want to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you've been doing that in Southern California for a while, and then you and the Spokane Symphony found each other. And in that, making that connection, was the idea of you starting a program here why they hired you, or was that something you suggested to them, or how did that come about?
You know, that is an interesting question, because ever since, like I said, I started doing conducting, I wanted to create a, you know, a program like the one the Spokane Symphony created with Music Innovates.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it everywhere, and I started in other places. But here it was a coincidence. You know, I just was hired to be the assistant conductor and to hear, to listen at the hall when Eckert was conducting the concerts, and of course doing my own educational concerts and some neighborhood concerts. Mm-hmm. And then one time having a conversation with the executive director at the time, I basically shared with her, you know, my love for what my true passion was. And then 2 weeks later, she came back and said, we started a program. Can you come and let's figure details out? And that was one of the best moments of my life.
That famous adage, be careful what you ask for. Yeah. And so we have this program called Music Innovates. And describe a little bit. It began at Holmes Elementary School. And we're going to double down on that from several points of view. But it's grown beyond that, hasn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. Now talk about its growth.
Yes, well, we started with 5th and 6th grade in Holmes Elementary, and it quickly was adapted and adopted by other schools because it was so successful there, and we quickly incorporated 4th grade in Holmes and other 3 schools. Now we are at 6. We have 4 more schools interested, so it's very possible that we go all the way to 10, and we started with 1 classroom. And now we have impacted, in the past 2 years, over 200 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, and we're looking forward to impact, you know, as many as we can.
Mm-hmm. And the Spokane Symphony is committed to this on every level, including the funding level?
Of course. I mean, the Spokane Symphony is the key to for the mm-hmm. functioning of this program. Again, you know, this type of program would not be possible without, you know, the participation of many different things, and of course there's the Spokane Symphony being the, you know, the main ingredient in the mix, and of course the Spokane Public Schools, which without their support we would not be able to do it either.
Mm-hmm. Dan Cotter, I'm going to make you come to this microphone for a minute. We're bringing him in later in other contexts, but Dan Cotter, who's the orchestra manager, and so you're certainly privy to all these conversations. Talk about the kind of funding and commitment from the symphony organization's part on this.
So I know that the Spokane, the Holmes actually donated quite a bit of grant funding that they had mm-hmm. toward the program, and we are looking for more grant funding to fully fund the program. But as it stands right now, we're still having to cover a big part of the cost for the program.
Yeah, but the symphony is doing that, and then it's just a matter of getting the grant funding.
Yeah. The program costs roughly, on average, about $90,000 a year.
Yeah.
And, it's mm-hmm. it's a big challenge. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of teachers, and they're doing incredible work with these kids. One thing that at least excites me the most about this program is seeing the administrators' excitement as the mm-hmm. kids are changing, and I mean, you could speak to this too, Seth. That mm-hmm. That they're big changes for these kids, that they're behavioral changes, academic changes. And at least at Holmes, we started there because my understanding was that it was the most at-risk school in our city. And we wanted to take our organization and try to help people, you know, take what we have that's so valuable and try to actually make an impact on Spokane and offer something other than entertainment.
And Jorge, that is at the core of the original El Sistema, isn't it? It's for everybody, and especially kids that don't have other alternatives.
For sure. The idea is to be able to give a music education to every kid that wants it. And not every kid has that opportunity, receives that opportunity to do it in their lifetime. So the Spokane Symphony really is committed to make this happen to them. And also, not only just to at-risk kids and families, it's also to integrate the whole city. You know, the idea is to have everybody be able to do it together.
Well, let's bring in Seth. Seth, come over to this microphone here. Seth Sakuma, who is from the go ahead and point it a little closer toward you, and pivot it up a little bit and just get comfortable there with the microphone. And so, Seth, you're involved with the administration there at Holmes, aren't you?
I'm actually a secretary at Holmes. I do attendance. With the Music Innovates program, I help with the administration side of the student, taking care of the students.
As a secretary at Holmes who takes attendance, you really know what goes on with kids, don't you? You know exactly who's having problems and who's there and who's not, and what you know the whole thing, don't you?
Unfortunately, yes. That's correct. You get to see the different patterns of the kiddos and what drives them to come to school, what certain times that make them more excited, more willing and wanting to come, versus other times where they kind of pull away.
Sure. Well, then you're the perfect one here to talk about that. Have you been there since? Move slightly closer to the microphone. Have you been there since the program started?
Music Innovates, yes.
Yeah, okay.
This is actually my 7th year at Holmes, my 5th year working in the office alongside with the students.
Okay, well, then talk about what you've seen in what is it, 3 years of Music Innovate. Talk about what changes you've seen and maybe tell some stories about that.
So our numbers have been growing, steadily growing, and the kids look forward to the program. Music Innovates goes on 4 days a week, and it's a two-hour program. So the kids are very dedicated and, you know, they look forward to doing it, coming and enjoying the time, not only with their instructors, who they love, but playing their instruments. A lot of the kids don't get that opportunity in the school yet because they're younger. So we have band and strings for 5th and 6th graders. But with Music Innovates, we invited the 4th grade and now the 3rd graders as well. So they get a chance to play an instrument that's they otherwise wouldn't have a chance to be able to do.
Sure. Now, do you have any stories, any of examples of how that's changed a kid?
Oh, we have a lot of kiddos that I work with that have behavioral issues or a hard time focusing and struggling in classrooms. And with their instructors, they've been so very patient and able to work with these kids one-on-one and in small groups and help them to be able to focus more. And there's a lot of kids that you can tell the difference on the days where they do have Music Innovates versus the days that they don't, and what they're doing in the classroom, out on the playground. It builds unity and teamwork between the students themselves, so it helps them a lot.
Yeah. Well, just stay there. Now let's bring Abraham here. Abraham Sukamo. Good morning, Abraham.
Good morning.
What grade in school are you?
I am in 6th grade.
You're in 6th grade now. And when Music Innovates came along, were you in the first year of doing that?
I believe so. So when I started, it was about February, and I was going in to be a violinist. We started learning about the Music Innovates program. We started learning about music theory, so what the notes were, how long you had to hold the notes for the instrument. And then somehow Jorge pulled me out of the class, and he said, "You guys, I think you should play the oboe." So that's how I got into that.
So Jorge, why did you do that?
Well, he's a natural oboist. You can ask him if he likes it or not.
Yeah, but why? What did you see in him that showed you that he was a natural oboist?
Well, I mean, it's just, it's hard to tell. It really is an instinctual thing. I honestly cannot answer the question, you know. Plus, we needed an oboist too.
Well, there's always that. Yeah. So Abraham, when Jorge said you need to play the oboe, what was the first moment of reaction? Was, oh, that's really weird.
Yeah, because like I've never heard of the oboe. I came in trying to be a strings player, and it took me a long time of trying to think through because I wanted to play the violin a lot, and uh-huh. I wanted to see what the oboe was like. Because I've heard the violin before, I haven't heard the oboe. I wanted to try something new. So I ended up choosing the oboe, and I've been playing it for 3 years now.
Yeah, well, talk about what... So I presume that's because you've fallen in love with the oboe, right?
Yes, very much so.
And what is it about the oboe that you've fallen in love with?
Just the sound of the oboe is beautiful, especially when you're playing like classical pieces or pieces from the Romantic era. It just sounds beautiful, the sounds that it makes. I also love how it's one of the only woodwind instruments that you don't really hear of. Like, you hear mm-hmm. the clarinet, you've heard of the flute, but you don't really hear of the oboe. Mm-hmm. When Jorge told me that I should play the oboe, that was the first time I've ever heard of the oboe.
You know, I think you and I are kind of brothers here, because when I picked the French horn when I was a little kid, I did it because it was weird and nobody else was doing it. So I think maybe you and I have that in common. And so you go to the Music Innovates program, you sit in the ensemble and you play the oboe, and you talked about some of the other things they teach. Talk about the theory and the other musical things you've learned there.
Oh, so when you start Music Innovates, you bring all the beginning students and you let them go into a theory class. So you have the beginning theory class, then you have the intermediate and advanced theory class, which is when you get, like, once you get there, you are in the beginner, when they start teaching you about the notes, they start teaching you how long you have to hold the notes, start teaching you about the different clefs and the different things that you need to know. But in advanced theory, they give you quizzes on what note, like how many notes does, like how can you put two notes together to make five beats or something.
Mm-hmm. And so did you find that interesting? That wasn't just kind of some dry, boring class, but you found that really interesting to learn that stuff?
Yeah, because before I didn't know about how many notes could be in one staff. I always thought you could only have four. But then I realized that you could have three, two, one, you could have five.
Nice. So beyond music, what are the other subjects you like in school?
I love learning about math. I love history. And I love science as well. Mm-hmm. Science, math, and history are like big parts of what I love.
Abraham Sakumo, who's a sixth grader at Holmes Elementary and budding oboist. And so I've heard there may be a oboe opening in the Spokane Symphony at some point. So keep going at that. Speaking of which, what I think we'll do, Bethany Scheff, the oboist, is here, and also Dan Cotter, the clarinetist, and they're going to go into the other room and play a little bit of music for us. When Mozart wrote his opera, The Magic Flute, which is an opera that has an awful lot of appeal to everybody, and especially kids. It's just a really fun kid opera. Then soon after it was written, somebody arranged several of the tunes for two treble instruments. They can be played by two violins, it can be played by two flutes, two oboes, or in this case, it's clarinet and oboe, going to play three short pieces from Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute. So in the other room in our studio is oboist Bethany Scheff. So this is for you, Abraham, to hear, and then along with her husband, clarinetist Dan Cotter. Thank you. three pieces from Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, played for us by oboist Bethany Sheff, who, by the way, is Abraham's oboe teacher, and also clarinetist Dan Cotter, who, by the way, is also the manager of the Spokane Symphony, the actual orchestra manager for the Spokane Symphony.